Welcome to the Slipstream Media podcast show, where we speak everything South African road cycling. In this week's episode, we chat to the international voice of cycling, Phil Liggett, ahead of the 2019 Tour de France. This year's Tour de France, it obviously starts in Brussels, as what I've seen. Some big names and some favorites for the Tour. Obviously, Chris Froome crashing out, it leaves the Tour a little bit open-ended. Who do you feel maybe is in the spot to possibly take the win this year?
Well, it's wide open now, and there's no question about that. I'm sorry for Chris, because I honestly think he was coming to his best form ever and would have been an outstanding favourite this year. He's kept his head down, as always. Geraint Thomas, as you know, had a bit of a tumble as well. He's playing it down, but we'll never know until the race just how serious that might or might not be. But they do have Egan Bernal, who's this 22-year-old superstar, and he may be giving his head as the Tour unwinds. It's a very wide-open race now. I know that the French, having run a headline in L'Equipe this week, saying it's now or never for the French, because they haven't won since 85 with Bernardino, with big stars sort of out of the race, including Tom Dumoulin, then they're going to feel they have a little bit of a chance now if they can get the eggs in the right basket. We'll see. But I think what we're going to get now is a great Tour, because they'll all be seeking out to see who really has got the form. And stage six, we go up La Planche des Belles Filles. That's a nasty little climb in the Vosges Mountains, and that might give us our first indication. It must be a day when those with ambition don't lose time anyway.
On stage six, we go into the mountains, and then the bigger mountains are more towards the end of week two, going into week three.
Yes, that's right. Then down the Pyrenees, across to the Alps. I think there's seven passes where we're up more than 2,000 metres, so we've got some good climbing. And I think it'll be a very interesting race this year. I'm looking forward to reporting it, actually.
Brilliant. In terms of the green jersey, Peter Sagan is going for the record-breaking seventh green jersey. He had a little bit of pressure in the beginning part of the season with the classics, where he didn't quite perform to his normal standard. So I'm sure he's very motivated for that green jersey at this year's Tour.
Yeah, well, he's sort of kept his head quiet. He's, as he said, he's not the same as he was some time ago. He's going to have to find his legs again. He's had sparks of brilliance, and he's won a couple of races. But I think possibly he'll know what to do when he comes back, and gets himself on the road again. As you say, he's the only year he never won the green jersey was the year he got disqualified with that collision with Mark Cavendish. And so, and he won't be challenged by Mark. I mean, although the talking is Mark is in the team, I'm a little bit surprised to see him even in the team for Dimension Data just now, because sadly, I've been with Mark a couple of times this year and I like him a lot, but although he looks very fit, it's just nothing there. It's just nothing coming out. And I just hope it changes, you know, because Dimension Data also, being an SA team, they want some results. They've won only five races this year. Yeah. They're going to rely pretty heavily on Boysenhagen and the fly the flag for them this time around. Yes. And of course, you're going to get a couple of African riders in there. I'm sure that Reinie, Jansen van Rensburg, will be in the team. And also Louis Menkes. And let's hope Louis can find his legs too, because he's an up-and-down rider this last couple of seasons too. But they need a good Tour, that's for sure.
In terms of World Tour regulations and points, what does it take for a team to be able to keep their World Tour Pro Tour status?
Well, I don't actually know the answer to that one. As you know, you've got your 18 teams. I think it's 18 teams these days. Might be 19. And they are the bottom team on the rankings just now of the World Tour. So they've really got to get a leg up. But I don't know if they brought in the promotional system. I really don't. And I don't think they have. But if they had, then of course they'd be dropped out of the World Tour. But I don't think they have. When it comes time to reapply, they're going to have to look at these problems and sort them out. And I'm probably a little bit like Doug Ryder here, because what's happened to the guys he signed, guys who've got good reputations, they just haven't fired in the team this year for some reason. And I thought he made a couple of shrewd signings there, and it just hasn't worked out. So I just hope it all comes right in the Tour, as it so often can.
Yeah.
And we'll see. But I know he's got 16 riders out of contract at the end of this year.
Wow.
Those guys are going to want to get a new contract, or basically someone getting a bit old would have to retire from the sport.
In terms of Louis Mankies for the general classification, he has been up there. Do you think he might be able to surprise us and maybe get another top 10 finish?
Yeah, I just don't know him well enough. I don't know Louis that well. And I'm just sort of kind of wondering what's gone wrong with him and his direction, because he's a guy that I thought was going to really go places. In his earlier days, he rode some fantastic grand tours and challenged and tried to stay with the best climbers in the mountains. And he was always tacked onto the back of the front group, hanging in there, you know. But that aggression seems to have disappeared. And I'm not close enough to know exactly what's gone wrong with him. But the guy must, you don't, talent never leaves you. And I just feel that he's got a chance. And I'd love to see him fight because he's an interesting character. This will be what? His fourth Tour de France, won't it? But 2 8th place finishes, you know, not last year, unfortunately, it wasn't wide last year, but 2 8th place finishes in 17 and 16. That's talent. And it doesn't disappear. So let's hope that he can find his way this time. And of course, there's no better time now because Dougie would like to see a result from him.
In terms of the South African scene, there's been two teams that have registered as UCI Continental teams this year. So they're part of the UCI Africa Tour. What do you think that does for the development of South African cycling? It's a good stepping stone, but do you think that's a good step in the right direction to get riders into the more World Tour level of the sport?
Yes, of course. It's the only way to go. And it's how most of the teams started out their lives anywhere in Europe. They've started Continental, Pro Continental, got the background, got the proof that they can do it. And then they've got the funds to go World Tour. And once you're World Tour, of course, you're in the big time. And from what I'm hearing from Rebecca, the team has had a fantastic year. You've got two or three champions at the latest round of championships over there. Can't do much better than that, can you? And how's your season been anyway?
Yes, it's been good. I've managed to do the Tour of Morocco and the Tour of Gila in the United States.
In New Mexico, it's a tough race, the Tour of Gila, isn't it? You guys must feel as though this year has been quite a jump forward after last year. Based on last year, you've made real progress this year as a team, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of Pro Touch, we've managed to gain enough UCI points to become the best ranked continental team on the Africa Tour at the moment. Which, if we can keep that up towards the end of the year, then we get more race invites, which is great for South African riders trying to make that jump and to get exposed to the higher level of racing. From that point of view, there's a lot of development happening, and we just want to get more athletes exposed to harder racing at a young age to be able to make that jump from a continental level into the World Tour level.
Go Pro Conti and see what happens. That's the next move, because the difference Pro Conti and World Tour is immense. And obviously by then you've got to have a lot of experienced guys to take you through the ranks to ride at World Tour level.
On that note, will you be at the Support SA Talent Awards dinner this year?
Yeah, I heard from Rebecca. She seems to be setting taking that up a notch as well if she can, and that would be nice. So I'll definitely come in for that. But I'm looking forward to the tour. It's a sad one without Paul Sherwin. And that will take a bit of getting used to. But I think we'll have a great Tour de France. Very interesting one. And it's my 47th. So I'm getting used to it now.
In terms of that, is there any one Tour de France that's actually stood out for you?
Yeah,
that's been your favourite?
Yeah, I always say 1989, Greg LeMond, when he won by 8 seconds. I predicted at the start of the programme he would reverse his 50-second deficit and he'd win by 6 seconds. So everybody, I gave the show away, but of course we were live, so that was impossible. And I've just been writing about that today, funnily enough, for a tribute which is being planned in America for Paul. And I mentioned that tour. Yeah, Greg really pulled off a big one that year, but it wasn't just the last day when he switched from 50 seconds back to win by 8 seconds. It was a great tour. There was just a few seconds, you know, Greg would get yellow, Fignon would take it back, Greg would take it back, Fignon would win a stage, Greg would win a stage. It was just a great tour, and it was bound to finish like it did as a big surprise.
In terms of the modern era, any tour that kind of stands out for you, the modern era being from, let's say, 2005 onwards?
Yeah, well, obviously, it was the end of the Armstrong debacle, if you like to call it that, and we were moving into the era with the young riders coming through as well. The racing for me is not as exciting as the old days, because and this is what the very thing right now, which is what Christian Prudhomme is trying to break, is the rather clinical way of racing by Team Sky, which is now Team Ineos. You know, they get a stranglehold on the race and they control the race, and they've got the team that can control it. And he's tried every which way, shorter time trials, hillier stages, whatever. It's nothing worked yet. We'll see this year. Now they've lost Chris Froome. It might make for a more open race. But we almost never any longer get a breakaway that goes and makes time. Everything's analysed, and they limit it all almost like computers. And that's not good racing for me. And it's not entertaining racing for television. And of course, now television covers stages from start to finish. It can be the biggest yawn in the business till the last 40 kilometres.
Yeah.
Hoping that we see a much more active and aggressive Tour de France this year.
If you see our national champion, Daryl Impey, out there, tell him we say hello.
He's so full of enthusiasm, and maybe it'll be the sort of race where he can do something this year.
Great ambassador for the sport and South African cycling. So if you see him, give him a thumbs up, and we look forward to seeing him in the future.
Well, thanks a lot, Miles. You're a good boy. Well done, mate. I'll see you in November, I guess.
Sorry, you broke up there, but...
Oh, sorry. I said, don't get too drunk until November.
No. We've got to stay focused. Yeah.
Good man. Thank you. Excellent. Have a great end to the season anyway.
Thanks, Phil. Chat soon.
Soon. All the best. Thanks, Miles.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning into this week's episode. Please don't forget to subscribe to our channel. In next week's episode, we change our focus a little bit onto ladies cycling, and we interview Jo van der Winkel and find out how their preparation is going for the 2020 Olympic Games.